All right, it's the No Self-Control Podcast. I have Benjamin Ryle to my left, and I am your host, Rodney Dixon. And we're just going to jump right into it. And the first thing we're going to talk, Kendrick Lamar just dropped a track called Prayer. And we want to just talk about how that might influence the culture. I'm going to let Ben start.
I think Kendrick Lamar is probably the best, in my opinion. If he's not the best rapper right now, he's definitely maybe the most important rapper right now. When he drops music, he's one of the few artists that I think truly have something profound to say.
Right.
He's someone that we should sit down and listen to. Damn, his last album came out when I was a senior in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to talk. I know how millennials, I guess he is a millennial, so I know how millennials see Kendrick Lamar, you know, like, yeah. We got to see him kind of grow up, like, from the beginning, from Swimming Pools, from,
you Section know, 80.
Section 80 and all of that.
Yeah.
And to see him rise so far... to this level is kind of crazy. Like, and I think that the fact when we talk about like our top list when it comes to rappers, he has to go up there. You know, like, yeah. And I feel like martyrdom has kind of left rap in the past. You know, between Big, you know, I love Biggie and I love Tupac, but I feel like that makes us rate like Lil Wayne and Cole and Nas and Jay-Z under them every time, you know, because of the martyrdom, because of that influence of, you know, generations, you know, because they it's almost like they created the modern, you know, hip hop. Because, like, we already know that there were so many rappers before them. Yeah. Run DMC, and to name one.
Yeah, NWA, like the 80s.
Yeah. Like, there's so many other, but I feel like Biggie and Tupac pretty much are the, you know, the preemptive, like, what we look overall, well, when we look at the class.
You're a little older than me, and I don't know, I'm a huge Biggie fan, I know you are too. Tupac, though, I'm fascinated by, because if you actually, I had a class at Coastal, American Identities, I don't know if you ever took that course.
Yeah, I took that exact course, actually.
I took it, and... It wasn't just... everyone in there, I guess, was around my age. Maybe, like 19 to 21 or something. Everybody loved Nas, Jay-Z, Biggie. But Tupac was one of those, like... Everybody knew who Tupac was, but so few of us could actually name any of his songs. It was weird.
Well, that makes sense, because he's more of an icon, I feel like. Than he was in movies. Several movies, Juice being one of them. That's one of my favorite movies that he's in.
Yeah,
you got the juice now. I feel like that's one thing that millennials and Gen Z, we're going to be kind of like be a part in, because Gen Z spent more time, I feel like, with the boomers directly than millennial Z, you know, Gen Z rather.
Yeah.
Because, like, I got to grow up with, like, Al Green and Ray Charles and, you know, all those cats, you know, that, I hate that I use the word cats, but, but all those, like, different creators, you know, you grow up with Michael Jackson being on the screen, you know, like, your idea of artist is a little bit different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you get to actually, like, you see Eminem in his prime. I grew up with Eminem, you know, trying to get up. You know, I saw 8 Mile when it came out.
Yeah.
In theaters. So, like, that impact is a little bit different. But, like, yeah, I got to see that shit. And then I got to see when it was parodied with Malibu's Most Wanted and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just, like, a major disconnect between all just, you know, different generations.
Well, I'm fascinated by this as a writer, and I've talked with some of my other writer friends about this, too. Is just how, like, I think that Gen X, I was talking with So, for anyone listening, I have a surrogate family. I have a family. I have, like, two families, basically. And I was talking with my surrogate father about that I think that his generation, Gen X, might end up being one of the most important generations.
One of the worst generations.
But also one of the most important, because they're going to be the last generation to have grown up without the internet.
Yeah.
Like, they're the last. So...
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But, like... It's kind of strange about that generation because they still had the video games and stuff like the Atari and Pac-Man and stuff like that. And they can, like, that's the weird thing about that generation because they had a small taste of all the technology. Like when it first started, like the big screens and the.
Right.
Like they got to see it kind of like right at the precipice.
Yeah.
You know, of the Bill Gates era.
But it's the kids that are born, like, 1985 and afterwards that, I mean, they grew up with the internet.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Yeah. Like, but even, like, my generation, we got the internet, like, as kids. Well, not, well, actually, even my generation grew up without the internet.
A little bit.
No, the older, I'm the youngest of my generation.
Yeah.
I'm the, like, that's what people don't understand about this millennial thing. I am at, like, I'm 27 right now. I am the youngest amongst my generation.
Yeah.
The older, like my brother, who's 37, or he's going to turn, well, yeah, he just turned 37, actually. He originally didn't have the internet. And then he got, like, you know, AOL, and you had all these other media organizations to get into the internet.
Dial up.
Yeah, dial up. Was a big one.
Server
dial up sucked.
Yeah, I've heard.
It is the worst thing. The
yeah.
Golly, man.
Like, yeah, it's parodied a lot.
Yeah, that is like the worst thing. Like, you just at that point, you don't even want to get on the internet, really. Just drop it. Like, okay, no.
Have you seen the thing where it's like dial up porn when like it just like slowly like. Like renders down the page.
Yeah, and then you don't even. Do you know what LimeWire is?
It's like one of the first music sharing things, right?
Yeah, it's illegal.
I only know that because someone told me about it. I never.
Yeah, it's the. You want to give your computer AIDS?
Well, see, like that's also like that's a big cultural shift too. Because like Napster was when I was in second grade. I remember going over to my friend Blake's house.
Napster sucked.
And, like, he had Napster and MySpace, and that was, like, a big deal.
MySpace was way better than Facebook. They weren't sharing your information. And then, like, there was a lot more privacy on there, too. Like, when it came to MySpace, like, there was a, like, it was hard to people for, to even message you on there. Like, it was a task to even, like, okay, where is this person? To try to find, I feel like that's where Facebook kind of broke out. Like, it was easier to find people on Facebook, even when more people were on MySpace.
Yeah.
Because there was, like, all these names you could put up. Like, people had all these weird-ass names and whatnot. You know, like, on Facebook, you could just, like, put someone's name in and find them. And it became easier the more Facebook got along.
Yeah. From my understanding, it was sharing that more personal information is kind of what was the initial appeal of Facebook.
Yeah, and that Facebook was more minimalistic. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you have a minimalistic approach, it's easier to succeed.
Did you ever see The Social Network?
Yes, that was a great movie.
It is a great movie, and I think it's only become even more relevant in recent years.
Exactly.
Especially since the Zuckerberg.
Well, they have almost a monopoly on social media in America.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who can... Like, what is Twitter? Is that their main company? Like, who's real...
I think Facebook owns Twitter.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, I don't think they own
Twitter. They definitely own Instagram.
Yeah, they definitely own Instagram.
Yeah.
But...
That's also one of those weird things. I guess that kind of, like, mass corporatism conglomerates run everything has always been going on. But, I mean, I started noticing
to this scale. I mean, like... AT&T had a split with Bell South, and then what did they do later on, like 5 years later, bought them again in a different form.
Yeah.
Like, that's That's when you get to the oligarchy, the, you know, where the monopolies, they're like, okay, you can have your industry, I'll have mine.
But see, I never noticed that until it started happening on the internet. I mean, I remember when, I guess we'll call it the Wild West days of the internet. I remember those days.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, like, every single popular YouTube channel has been swallowed up by some kind of conglomerate.
Well, that makes sense because they, for a long time, they were just searching for ways of how to monetize it. That was the biggest problems back in the day. Like, even the early YouTube era where, yeah. I'm actually going to, I should have showed you this video before we even had this
conversation. I think you did.
The Age of the Internet?
Yeah.
I showed you that?
Yeah.
Well, that basically breaks down. If you guys haven't watched it, this is one of the greatest videos on YouTube of all time.
It really is.
It just breaks down how the internet has come to this precipice, like has gone to this era of basically censorship.
Yeah, heavy regulation.
Exactly.
And it's just not, it's not what it, it's not what it used to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, it's not the freedom that it used to be. Like, you used to be able to go on the internet and no one know who you are.
Yeah.
Especially on Yahoo, when Yahoo was the one of the biggest back in the day.
Well, I remember trying to, I had a YouTube channel when I was in middle school, and then I remember trying to make a new one when I was in early high school, and like, because back, I guess back in the, when I was in middle school, this was probably in the late.
It was easy to make a, like, page. It was like,
well, like, and like, you could use like a funny email, and like, you didn't have to use your real name. Now you have to use your real name. They will not let you.
Exactly.
I mean, they want to know who you are, so they can sell you stuff. And if you don't follow community guidelines and all this other stuff, and basically now the corporations, the conglomerates run the place. If you do anything they don't like, they're going to demonetize your video.
Exactly.
And they're going to stop you from making any kind of money.
But it's been climbing to that for a long time, though.
Yeah.
It went from, you know, like, I mean, this isn't the first time YouTube has had a adpocalypse. Have you heard about that? Adpocalypse, like, they lose, they get demonetized. That's why I, like, took a little time to get into YouTube. Like, because I already saw what was going on. And I feel like, okay, this is a perfect time to talk about demographics when it comes to YouTube, especially when it comes to how race equates this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back in my high school, we hardly have functioning computers, you know, to even, like, I feel like as minorities, especially black people specifically, our ability to get into the internet is a lot, you know, quailed a bit because of our education system. Because of, like, I'm pretty sure they taught you how to use computers, right? Like, in school?
I don't think they did.
They didn't?
No.
They didn't teach you how to use the internet?
I mean, they taught me how to type, or they tried to teach me how to type.
They were really bad at teaching
things. But, well, I went to private school. I didn't go to public school.
So right.
You might have...
different experience.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, my little cousin, they get iPads when they go into public school.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about.
But my generation, no, we didn't get any of that. But I mean, like, I knew how to use.
Strange.
Yeah.
Because, like, I heard about private schools, like, you get, like, like, you know, you get like an iPad, like.
If you go to like a nice inner city private school, but. If you live in buttfuck nowhere in the deep south,
yeah,
no.
that'll change your economy.
Yeah,
but
yeah, the internet. I think the internet age is good. The internet age is going to be, or the information age is going to be, I think, going to end up being more influential on civilization than the industrial age.
Well, it's impossible to say that because that's what brought birth to this age. Is the Industrial Revolution. Without the Industrial Revolution, there is no internet age.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, if you think about how life changed after the Industrial Revolution, I think how life is going to change after the,
exactly,
the information age.
Exactly, because of mass communication.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that, you know, it kind of goes back to what I was talking about, digits and communication and words. In science and all the, like, this is all a form of communication. You get what I'm saying? Like, so with the internet, why they call you know what they originally called the internet?
What?
The World Wide Web.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It connects everyone. You know, it's surfing the web. You know, it's like an ocean, or it's like I'm glad they use these metaphors because that's exactly what it is. That's why there's this idea of a cyber identity now, where you yourself can have a different identity online from reality. That creates like a different identification, like a different identity altogether. But like, and I feel like the more we go with the internet, the more that identity becomes almost concrete. Like the more we become more who we are online than we are in real life.
Yeah.
Like Matrix type shit. Especially when VR gets introduced
Are you talking about anonymity?
Well, yeah, there is no anonymity anymore. Like your cyber identity is a part of your identity now.
You would have
to own it.
Now. I would disagree with that a little bit. I think
you would. Why?
I mean, there's definitely anonymity on the internet, and I think part of that
on Reddit.
I mean, part of that anonymity is why I think we've had the rise in so many of these like very, very niche is the wrong word to use. Very.
No, that's the right word.
Niche is these very marginalized. No, not margin. They're weird. They're weird groups like flat earthers and neo Nazis.
Oh,
I don't know what word to use to describe them. They're like extremist.
Yeah, there you go.
Like
that's
like
the word.
Anonymity is on the internet is what's given rise to.
Well,
them,
I don't think that they have much. I mean, you can find out IP addresses really easily. I mean, the fact that people can get doxxed and swatted, you hear YouTubers talking. I love being a part of like the internet community, like really just being able to do deep dives and like into YouTubers and Redditors and all of these different communities, because it kind of gives you a microcosm of our society. So like when you look at this, like the anonymity, why do you think NordVPN exists? You know, like stuff like that where people can, you know, kind of throw their signal off and stuff like and not show their destination. Yeah. Because you can easily, like, if you're a hacker now, you can easily kind of like figure out where someone is.
Well, the reason I say anonymity is because, like, I think the internet has brought out people's dark sides.
Well, yeah. I mean, trolls have gone to like a different level now. Like, especially with the bots. That's another thing that we, like, the bots and everything that you can do to kind of... I mean, you can have anonymity if you're smart, but I feel like most people don't. Especially when it comes, like, to Twitter, to Facebook. As you just said, you have to show who you are now. Like, early days was true anonymity. And what we're getting from the internet now is they want to know who you are. Like, if you look on Snapchat right now, people know exactly where you are. They can pinpoint your location.
Yeah.
You know, on Facebook, the same thing. You know, like when they ask you to, check in, you're giving your destination. You're giving where you are. You're giving all this information. Every time you open your phone to go Google search something, Google's taking your information, your data.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. That's what all this data collecting is showing. You know, like, They're taking all your information in your location, what you're thinking at the moment. How many times do you talk on your phone and then Google, or you have an iPhone. So how many times does Siri just interrupt your shit? It's like, hey, I'm up in here, like, just like completely interrupting. Like, Siri, you son of a bitch. I wasn't talking to you.
Sucky cunt. definitely your phone is listening to you. There's no
exactly.
question about
I mean,
that. I don't think it's the government doing it. It's them trying to sell you shit.
It's both, though.
They're trying to create like a consumer profile for you. Well, it's just like on my YouTube channel, people keep thinking that like my YouTube channel has a hard time like figuring out who I am, because I keep getting recommended, like I'll get these like really conservative videos, and I'm just like, why are they recommending me these videos? I'm not conservative. And then I'll listen to some Korean, some K-pop. And then all of a sudden I get all this Korean shit. And I'm like, I'm not Korean either. Like, why are they sending me all this? Like, they're trying to get a profile of me.
Yeah.
So they can sell me shit.
Exactly. But I feel like the algorithm that they use gets really confused when you're, like, not one type of person.
Right.
Like, I feel like I've noticed that with my YouTube as well. Like, I don't... Like, I listen to a bunch of random shit. Like, so I feel like it's harder for... Like, they're like, oh, okay, he likes this. And then they're like, oh, he likes this. Oh, wait, no, he likes this.
Which one is he fucking like?
Trying to, like, create private dossiers on you and whatnot. But, when it comes... Like, I feel like the internet is going... Like, your internet identity will become more of, like, who you are. Like, especially when we get into the virtual reality, augmented reality, and everybody's, like, feels like they're submersed in this experience. I feel like that will start to, we'll start to do more things online than we do in reality. Like, instead of going out to eat, we'll just, like, put on our VR goggles. Kind of like Ready Player One.
Right.
I feel like that's where our society is going. Especially retail is dying. You know, like, a lot of these theaters are dying. You know, like, going out is going to... I feel like...
Look at the past.
Yeah. Like, we're like, you remember when we used to actually go out?
Remember when we used to actually talk shit to other humans?
Exactly.
Well, like, that's like... It's partly a joke, but I'm sure there's some truth to it, too. They think that as soon as they commodify, like, sex robots, then, like, marriage is going to plummet.
Exactly. Marriage, like, rates are going to... Fuck this robot.
Yeah, like, what gives a shit about...
It's like real pussy.
Who wants real pussy? Fuck?
This is robots, man. You know, like, it's freedom, man. Like, no, it's like, we're gonna be chaining ourselves up. Instead of, like, real human, like, experiences, we're gonna be, like, going into the web.
Well, that's what, you know, Japan's going through that right now, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like the more homogenous you get, the more you're gonna get there.
Yeah.
Like, the less you mix with different cultures, all that hate has to go somewhere. They're still pissed off at someone. Like, oh, yeah, he's Japanese. Fuck. Like, oh, Japanese can't drive. You're Japanese.
Everybody looks like me.
Like, think about that. All right, so, like, Japan has one of the most, I feel like, the closest to perfect society you can get.
I would very much disagree with that.
How so? No, I mean, they have flaws. I'm not saying they don't have
flaws.
They're flaws,
nationalistic.
But incredibly. Their flaws are all, like micro. Like, their flaws are like, oh. I mean, we have a suicide problem in this country, too. Like, one of their biggest problems is suicide and low birth rates.
Actually, kind of off topic, but a little bit not. The suicide rate is... It's actually not as bad as you think.
I know that, but that's one of the things that gets brought up when you talk about Japan.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, they'll, if there's no immediate, like, a lot of times they'll murder, or they'll find dead bodies, and they'll rule them a suicide to artificially keep crime rates low. So, suicide might not be as big an issue in Japan, but I'm getting away from the topic. My point is that Japan is incredibly nationalistic and isolationist.
Well, but the nationalism, they just started building their military again. They just started it. While America has had the biggest military on the planet, they've been completely neutralist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when your society grows the most. Like, when you're not, you know, throwing money into the mass industrial
prison industrial complex,
not the prison industrial complex, military industrial complex.
Yeah,
when you're not putting your money there, and you can put your money into design and build, like, they have robots and shit. Mm-hmm. They have AI far past our artificial intelligence.
Oh yeah, of course.
They had literally created a Gundam. When it comes to, like, making anything, they're like A1. You know, like, yeah. And when it comes to, like, crime and violence, they're low on that, too. If they're trying to keep the crime rate down, they're doing a good job. Like, they're doing a really good job because they have low crime rates, high test scores.
Well, they have low crime rate because there's not that much poverty. In fact, I don't think there's much poverty at all.
No, there isn't. That's why I consider society to be, like, almost, like, the closest other than, like, some European countries that are just as good.
Yeah. Definitely Sweden. Sweden's one of
Yeah, Sweden.
Norway.
Yeah,
Norway. I think Norway actually is the happiest country. No, Sweden's the happiest country.
Yeah. They have really good test scores, too, both of those.
I don't know.
But, like, I think it's funny that all of that, the like, when we talk about education, I feel like there's a big reason why we devalue it is because it doesn't equate to capital.
Yeah, or it indirectly it does.
It does, though. That's the thing that's stupid about America. Like, I feel like when you've been doing something wrong the same way for so long and it's been working, you don't even want to improve it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's why the American system doesn't improve. Because, like, it's been working, right? Any rich person is going to tell you. It's like, why would I change if there's a $1 trillion company over here that's trying to go $2 trillion, why would I not just copy the design that's already there? And I feel like that's why.
I feel like America's an anomaly, though. Don't you think? Like, America's such, like, a rare example on the world stage.
Mm.
I mean, just look at what happened at the climate change summit.
G5,
yeah. And, like, America, the only country that didn't show up, even Russia showed up. But America did not China even show up. China.
They signed it, too. China and Russia signed it.
Not America.
I think there was only two countries that didn't sign it. It was like us and some like third world country.
I think it was in the Middle East. I think it might have been Saudi Arabia.
No, they signed it.
What country didn't?
I don't know. That's why. If it was Saudi Arabia, I would have remembered that.
Oh. I'm pretty sure the Saudi prince and Trump fuck each other, but.
I mean, for that oil, baby. For that oil, baby.
He lubes Trump's asshole with oil.
The oil for anything for you, baby. Like, that's basically what America is. You know, like, it's all about capital. If there's money to be... I mean, think about World War II. Let's just, like, side note. We literally sold weapons to the Nazis.
Yeah.
Like, we literally gave weapons to Italy.
Well, and then we brought Nazis over here to work in our space program.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, Wernher von Braun.
Exactly. He wasn't a Nazi, but Albert Einstein.
Wernher von Braun was a Nazi.
I said Albert Einstein.
Oh, no. He never... Did he come to the...
Yes.
He did?
Yes.
I know he loved...
He was a part of the Manhattan Project.
He loved Germany because...
He wasn't the biggest part of the Manhattan Project.
Yeah, I did not know he moved to the United States.
Yeah. But, let's move on to another topic now. Okay, I think, but, I want to go back to the difference between Gen Z. What do you think is the biggest difference between Gen Z and millennials?
The internet. The biggest difference...
I wouldn't say the internet, because I feel like millennials own the internet right now.
Yeah, but I don't know. The Gen Z is the first generation to be fully, like, to not know a world, because you guys know a little bit of a world without the internet. Yeah. Gen Z does not know any kind of world without the internet. Like, not one. They don't know.
Yeah.
So, that's a really abstract question that I don't think I can really answer. Like, what's the biggest difference?
How addictive do you think the internet is? Do you think the internet is more addictive than... I think the internet is more addictive than most drugs.
Oh, of course. I agree with that. I know I have a YouTube problem, because I get on YouTube and everything in my recommendation list is shit, and I still watch it. Like I'm at the point of the cocaine habit where I'm not even getting high anymore, but I'm still doing it.
Yeah, like scrolling through Facebook is like just.
Yeah, like you're not getting the dopamine anymore.
But you still want to do it. Like, I feel like one of the first things I do when I wake up, I'm like, I wonder what's going on outside. It's like a newspaper, though.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, and like, and they repeat, like, the radio or anything like that. Like, people were like, the generation that we, Gen X didn't grow without it. Yeah, radio but, or yeah, the but TV. The radio, and they were saying that was like a drug, too.
Yeah, but not the same as the internet, though. It's not the same.
I mean, it's similar.
Similar, but it's not, like, the newspaper is not designed to be addictive.
Well, it's not also, like, something that you can put, like, comment on or, like, be a little bit more intrusive. Well, I don't want to say, or, well, what am I trying to say? Like, you can actually be there for the discussion. Like, but there's a little bit of more distance between you and the newspaper.
That's not why the internet's addictive, though. The internet's addictive because it's designed to give you, like, that's why, like, when you look at Bloomberg News on YouTube, like, it's like these 30-second stories, quick to the point, short. Like, they want to just, like, dopamine, quick as possible. It's designed to grab your attention and not let you go. The newspaper was not designed to do that.
Yes, it was.
I disagree with that.
No, it, like, that's why they had, like, stunning lines here, people here with your newspaper. Like, no, it was designed to do the same thing. It's just that it was less productive. It wasn't as good at gaining your attention as the internet is. Like, it's easier to, you know, ignore the, you know, newspaper. Because, like, the newspapers, I mean, the media has always been a whore for attention. Has always been an attention whore. Like, that has not changed. Like, that's what the newspaper is for. It's like, hey, here, look, read this to make you want to read it.
Your face.
Exactly. Like, capitalism has always wanted you to be addicted to these things. That's why, like, Coca-Cola's have cocaine. Like, if we can give you, like, I think, when that's why I learned through sales anyway. Like, being in sales lets you know, like, how this all started.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like I said, I think the internet is just going to change everything. And COVID is only making it. If something like COVID happened in the 60s.
I feel like they would be able to actually play it then.
You think so?
Yeah, because, like, the problem with the internet is there's just too many ways to get information. Like, that's why it goes back to the mass communication I was talking about. That's what makes the internet such a powerful tool. You don't have to go through Bloomberg or Wall Street or the Wall Street Journal and all that bullshit or Forbes or The Time or any of that. If you want to post something, you can just do it. We all become media. That's the power of the internet. We all are media now.
Yeah.
We all are showing the story. And it's like, and there's like BuzzFeed and stuff like that. And there's other media outlets that can get out stories. So if the mainstream media doesn't feel like doing it, guess what? Those little underdogs are going to come and pull up. So they can't hide it. CNN and Fox and all that, they're two sides of one, the same coin. You know, that's why anybody's like, oh, keep on watching your CNN or your Fox News. I'm like, well, like, I mean, you can, fake news and blah, 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 whatever. It's like, but that's still the news.
Right.
You know, like, that's why it's so stupid for people to just keep on doing this game of like, oh, my facts outweigh your facts, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, okay, are they saying the same things, just in different ways? So, obviously, not fake. It's just a different narrative that they're trying to, like, fill out. You know,
well, it's also, I think, as a writer, I'm sort of interested in this concept that, like, human beings we look for meaning and order and patterns when they aren't there. And I think that's part of, like, what, when you get something like Fox, like a Fox News or a CNN or whatever, you're,
people desperately want the world to, like, point to a certain direction or have a certain meaning.
Yeah.
When that's absolutely not how the world works.
No.
Like life is random and ambiguous, and facts sometimes contradict each other. That's just what I mean, especially in science.
Well, yeah, that's why we have a scientific method.
Right. But what I'm saying is that, like,
well, I mean, that's why you have to test something over and over again, because you can have a misread, or you can have, like, there are, like, exceptions to rules, and there are ways that we can be fallible.
Right.
That's why we have a justice system, but that's also the reason why the justice system is broken. Because right. of, like, you know, hearsay, fallible memories, you know, people don't remember things the same way twice. You know, that's why they have a show called The First 48. Because if you don't solve the crime within 48 hours, the case is just a cold case.
Yeah, the chances of solving it are very slim. Yeah, abysmal.
But, like, that's what makes, you know, the media the problem. But that makes all of us the problem. And I feel like the more you get to idiocracy, that's the bottom line of what America is going to. A complete idiocracy where facts are more are on the sideline and feelings are mainstream.
The forefront, yeah.
Yeah, and the conservatives keep on pretending like they're not feelings-based, but they 100% are.
Oh, of course.
Their whole fucking ideological structure is based on Protestant. It's based on
Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah, white. Anglo-Saxon.
But I feel like that kind of
anti-secularism.
I feel like well, that's also another important thing I like to bring up. I think Trump is going to end up really changing the Republican Party. I think we're going to see another split, because I think the Anglo-Saxon part of, because there's sort of like an Anglo-Saxon Protestant, they're kind of like merged together, right?
Yeah.
And that's been like sort of the basis of the Republican Party.
But I don't think the Protestant like the they don't think they like each other.
I think the Christian part of being a Republican is going to die out. Because remember, Republicans used to be value voters, and now they're not anymore.
Mm.
Like, they're not value voters anymore. Like, they are for the first time, atheists are actually people to say that morality matters the most in a candidate. So, the Republicans used to be the party of values. They're not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats are becoming the party of values.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Which is crazy.
Because think about it. Like, when we were, and it's also part of the reason why, and this is just my opinion, by the way, late night talk shows aren't as funny as they used to be, because, mm-hmm. When you were, back in in the 2000s, when you were a liberal, being a liberal was kind of like, you're like anti-establishment, like you're against the system, you're against like these rules and conventions, you're against censorship. And now that's kind of flipped, where
Republicans are against censorship.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're only against censorship when they're being censored. Like, that's the problem with the Republican Party. They're not the party of America, as they try to invoke.
Right.
They're the party of themselves, for themselves. They're an individualistic party. They're right. only for their individual.
Or for a certain group of people.
Yeah, I feel like the Democrats will go to bat for anyone who's going to bat for them. Like, right. That's why, like, Mitt Romney and George Bush can come back and be kind of, like, praised by the liberal media.
Yeah, well, they have, definitely, especially Bush, which shocks the fuck out of me.
Well, it makes sense, because George Bush was more lovable than Donald Trump.
Oh, of course. I mean, I still think Bush was a terrible president.
Yeah, of course he was a terrible president. He was probably a worse president, actually.
Of all time.
I wouldn't put him... Well, I don't know anymore. I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of... I have no idea.
I mean, obviously Dick Cheney made a lot of those decisions.
Yeah.
Like going into Iraq. Shooting his partner in the face with a shotgun.
Yeah, that was... that was pretty deep, you know. I mean, the war on Iraq and Afghanistan was just... He might be the worst president of all time.
Yeah, no.
I mean, when he fucked up the stock market... Put us in wars. He deregulated Wall Street.
Yeah.
I use that for wine, you know. Like, you just, like, put it on your toe and whatnot. I'm like, bro, I use this. What are you doing?
You don't put this in the wine, though. You just take the squirt.
I don't care.
I'm sorry.
Like, putting it on your feet and stuff. I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm going to wash it for you.
Yes.
The people listening around are just like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I'm talking about my cork screw.
We were talking about politics, sir.
You have no self-control.
No fucking self-control. You put all my shit on your fucking feet, Ben!
What the fuck is wrong with you? But, I feel like what our society has to do is actually come together and actually talk. Like, we need it. Like, the problem is a lack of communication. Like, no one watches the same thing. So, the people who watch Fox News don't watch CNN. So, they just have an overgeneralized idea of what it is. Like, from any of these, you don't, like, I watch both. Like, I literally go from, you know, the conservative media is bad. Does it smell like feet? It probably does. Like, you just been rubbing it.
I almost smelled it the first time.
I was trying to ignore you. I was like, I was trying to wait till this recording ended.
Yeah, I was like, should I sniff it? He's going to call me out if I sniff it. And I was like, fuck it. And you were like, did you just sniff that?
I was trying to wait till the recording end.
No, she's like, that's great, dude, for a podcast. Like, it's great. Okay. Sorry, I haven't slept in 48 hours.
The problem is the lack of communication and lack of information that is open to the media. Like, I feel like a lot of conservatives can ignore facts because they just scroll past it. It's like the same thing that I talk about to people when they see something they don't like on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you just scroll past it? That's what I do about everything. But, like, that's exactly how the problem with mass media is now. Is because all of the information that is most important, people can just skip past.
Yeah, you can definitely...
Where's the spark molds on that? I feel like that's what people say about everything. Like, who has time to learn about this bullshit?
Yeah. I definitely think that, I don't know. The internet... I don't know. You know how weird it is to look back on the... Like, I'm getting to the point now. I have, like, an idea of what it's like being older now. Because, like, especially when I went to... When I was back in Brunswick for the summer and working with people who were in high school. Like, it's weird for a long... Because remember, like, when you're growing up, you feel like you're a kid. Like,
yeah.
You have your kid stuff and it's niche and, like, it's only for you. Then you get older and now, like, your kid stuff is old. You're no longer a kid anymore. Yeah. So, like,
it's all nostalgia now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird thinking, like, I have, like, nostalgia for the 2000s. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, me too. I have a major nostalgia for, like, 2000. Like, I've actually been watching a lot of old memorabilia. Space Ghost Coast to Coast. I don't even know what that is.
Adult Swim.
Yeah. That was before Adult Swim. In fact, that was...
Before it was called Adult Swim.
Yeah, that was Cartoon back in the day where, like, it wasn't even called Adult Swim. It was just like, and then I remember on the Adult Swim first, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like,
well, this is really weird.
But the problem, I feel like, with nowadays, there is no surprise anymore because everything is all preemptive. Like, everything is kind of like, you know what's coming. Almost like now, yeah. It's more predictable. I feel like with the internet, everything becomes more predictable.
Well, nostalgia is weird because like corporations are now starting to capitalize on nostalgia, and it's weird that nostalgia starts in the 80s. Like nostalgia, there's no 70s nostalgia. There's no 60s nostalgia.
Well, there's a 70s nostalgia.
I haven't seen any of it.
I do. That 70s show is a great...
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Well, that 70s nostalgia is not popular now. It's 80s
well,
nostalgia.
Well, no, it's aged because that was blowing up during the 2000s.
So you think people, like, in the 2000s, people had 70s nostalgia, yeah. And now we have 80s nostalgia?
Yeah. This is going to keep on going until people get to 2000 nostalgia. That's why you have these, we are the 90s. You probably don't even remember that show. It was on, like, VH1. Like, you had all those shows, like, you had things highlighting, like, the 70s and the 60s. We love this decade. What we're going to, they already did that on Netflix. It's going to come back around. Like, well, you know, there's a Bronze Age, there's a Silver Age, there's a Gold Age.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, everything goes through a cycle of where it's loved and hated.
Yeah, and now 80s is the thing.
Yeah.
And they say we're moving into late 80s nostalgia now.
People have always said the past was better than the present.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Like, that's...
And that doesn't reflect truth, though.
Yeah, there is no truth. Because it's all just...
Subjective.
Yeah, it's all a bunch of perspective pushed together.
That's a good point. There is no truth.
Well, there is a truth.
There's facts. But, there's no truth.
I would say there is a truth. I mean, like, I would say that's what the scientific method proves.
Facts.
Yeah.
But like I said, truth, to me...
Truth are the facts.
Truth is different than facts.
How so? Elaborate.
A truth is like... How do I describe this? How about this? You can disprove a fact. You can't disprove a truth.
You can't.
It's not
a fact.
Like, think about it like this. Like,
if you can disprove it, it's not a fact.
Like, lying is wrong. That's a truth. Now, we can debate it. You can falsify it. I'm not sure
if that's the truth.
I would say that's a truth. That's an example of a truth. Like, no, lying is wrong.
If that was... Well, I don't consider that to be true. All right, let's say you're a spy, or you're the president, or you're a senator, or you have any type of responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, or if someone tells you to hold a secret. You get what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. A truth is false. Like, a truth is not... Like, it's not... A truth, we can't disprove a truth. We can debate it, but we can't... Like, a fact is, like, can be tested and proven right or wrong. You can't do that with a truth.
No, you can be way that. This is a panda. That's the truth.
That's a fact.
It's not a truth. It's both.
We have to...
It's overlapping.
Epidemiologically, we have to separate...
What's the difference between the truth and the fact?
I just told you.
I think they're almost like...
A fact can be falsifiable. A truth cannot be falsifiable.
They're like synonymous, though.
Well, like, it's like saying...
They're synonyms.
It's like this. God is real. That's a truth. We could debate it.
I don't really want to go into that. Like, I don't really want to go agnostic on this.
No, I'm agnostic. But I mean...
But well, I believe in God. Let's just keep that right. I still have a lot of my Christian beliefs. But... That I don't think that is a truth. I think that's some things that people believe. Like, I mean, I believe God is real, but I don't think that necessarily other people need to believe God is real. Right. That's what makes me agnostic.
Yeah.
Because, like, I believe there is a God. I believe that is real. And I think that's synonymous with the universe. Do I think other people should believe that? No. You choose whatever you want to believe. But when it comes down to, like, what is a fact, what is truth, that's something that it is always able to be measured. If it's not able to be measured, it's not the truth.
Well, let me ask you this. Like if I say, we would both agree that Donald Trump is evil, right? We would both agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Is that a fact or is that a truth?
Neither.
I would say it's
an opinion.
I would say it's truth.
It's opinion.
Okay, then would you also say, like lying is wrong? Is that an opinion?
That's an opinion.
But then how would you differentiate a fact from a truth? And how would you do that? How would you differentiate the two?
If I had to, because I think they're the same thing.
If they're the same thing, then why have two different words for it?
Hmm? Well, we have different words for different shades of blue, too. They're all blue, but this is indigo. This is sapphire. This is cobalt blue.
We can agree to disagree. I think this is...
Why have a differential between different shades of anything? Why isn't like a different shade of red just red?
A truth is more like something that's like a truth can be subjective. I think there's different. A fact is objective.
I feel like facts are a little bit more concrete, and truth is a lot more metaphorical. Like fact is more based on logic, reasoning, and ascertaining the.
Truth is subjective.
Yeah, the truth.
Fact is objective.
You could say that. I would say both. I mean, I feel like the problem with what you're saying about truth is same thing you could say about a fact. Like, someone just saying that something is a fact doesn't make it a fact. Someone just saying something is the truth does not mean that it is the truth.
But if we were to say, like that TV is a square. Or a TV is a rectangle. We
could all be technically.
But we could measure it and we could decide right here. Okay, objectively, it's a rectangle. But we can't do that.
Is that not the truth?
That's.
What's the difference between truth and lie then? If what's the difference between truth and lie? What is a.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think about that.
Yeah.
I feel like we're not actually disagreeing. We're just disagreeing on how to use the word.
It's just semantics.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But we're coming in on 8 minutes and 40.
I need to go to bed. I'm so exhausted.
But all right. I feel like
we never even got to politics. We never even got.
But we can probably do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I feel like this just shows you a good difference between millennials and, you know, Gen Z, just manner of speaking. But this is No Self Control Productions. And
we have no self control.
I enjoyed this conversation though.
I did too. It's very informative.
Yeah. We hit a lot of different things. But I feel like bottom line, when it comes to the internet, it's just a lot of semantics.
Yeah.
You know, and communication. And a lot of things that happen on the internet, it happen because of lack thereof. And I think text is shit. I think anytime people try to, like, write their thoughts down, they never put enough thought into it.
Right.
You know, and that's where the internet, like, people think, I don't, like, people who are insulted think of everything as serious. But until, like, they are insulted, I feel like they don't take the internet seriously. But only then, after they're insulted, and there's... I feel like that's the biggest problem with the internet, is that hate is so powerful. You know, like... And when someone's just pissed off at their own life, they can just project that onto you in this moment. You know? With the internet. And the internet is just aimless at the moment. Other than capitalism. Capitalism is the only thing that's able to pretty much hack into the internet and take control of it.
Well,
that's the closest thing.
Well, that happens with every medium. I mean, that's happening with television right now. This is the golden age of television.
I wouldn't call it
mass produced.
It's not the golden age. It's the age where I feel like it's a bronze age. Because it's like trying to get back to its golden years.
Well, I think...
I mean, when it comes to ratings, let's go by ratings. So, like, something that's actually... Like 2.5 Men was like 10 years ago. That's like 2010s, right? I'm glad that I, you know, study this type of shit. American Studies major. All right, so communication / American Studies major. But, like, you look through, like, TV when, like, the golden years, like, you have the Golden Girls and stuff like that. You have Friends. You have The Office. You have these really big names that used to garner so much attention. Now TV, like, the closest thing you got to ask, like, the NFL. Like, who's hitting those type of numbers anymore? Viewership is down everywhere because everyone's watching YouTube. It was on, like, their fucking phone.
But Netflix, most people in the industry consider, like, Netflix television. That's part of television.
It's not television.
Well, it's series.
It's streaming.
Series-driven shows. When I say television, I mean, like
the serial, like the serial story. We're in the golden age of the serial because of streaming. Like TV shows, serialized media is in its golden age right now.
Right.
It's never been better than it's better now than it's ever been.
Got Game of Thrones,
Breaking Bad, yeah. Walking Dead,
yeah.
The Boys.
The production value is definitely film like.
Film or television?
Television's production value is now film like.
Oh yeah. Well, I think television now. Television is where the biggest stories are told.
Yeah, because I feel like it's hard to garner support for a movie anymore. I feel like it's hard for me to, because theaters are dying, as we said before.
Yeah.
But that will be another disconnect with our generations, how we socialize.
Yeah.
Like how we used to socialize before was, oh, let's go to movies. Oh, let's go to the bowling alley, or oh, let's go and play video games together, multiplayer games. Now it's like, there used to be co-op more so and stuff like that. Like, the internet has changed, I feel like, more to the introvert. I feel like more introverted by the
internet. Oh, yeah. Well, even like if you read books on like basic sociology, like Americans are definitely not as outgoing and extroverted as they used to be on average.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the term best friend was invented because people had so many friends, they had to pick a best friend. That's the reason the term best friend exists.
Wow.
Like, but, like, on average, like, Americans just don't have that many friends anymore on average.
I believe it. I mean, well, real friends, like, people that they actually talk to on the phone. I've known. And that's another thing that we're going to talk about later. But we got to, you know, kind of, like, chime out now because we're running pretty late.
Yeah, we got about 3 minutes.
Yeah. But I feel like that's what really the social structure of our society has been altered through the internet. Because, like, now you don't, like, go to your friend's house. You just, you know, call them on the, like, well, you have these group chats, and that's how you talk.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I put more things on group chats than I do on, like, my page.
Mm.
But, like, that has changed how we socialize with each other. How we speak. How we talk. Mm. Like, and it's all different forms of communication. We're, like, all speaking different languages.
Right. And we're, it's only going to further change it. It's only going to get more like that and less like it used to be.
Yeah. But this is the No Self-Control Podcast. My name is Rodney Dixon, and this is
Benjamin Riles.
And we're out of here.